Now for agribusiness news, markets, and weather from Studio C, this is Agriculture Today.
As part of that investment, USDA will cover 60% of the startup costs through direct assistance to the port, and we're also going to provide additional movement logistics costs, a subsidy of $125 a container in order to provide help and assistance. And we sincerely hope that this spurs additional opportunities in other ports.
Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack on using CCC funds to increase port capacity.
USDA will continue to work with the Department of Transportation and others to explore additional partnerships, such as the one we have at the Port of Oakland, to alleviate other transportation issues, such as trucking. We're looking at increasing and expanding apprenticeship programs, for example. And I joined John Beccari's call with the Port of Los Angeles and the Port of Long Beach last Friday to make clear our joint commitment and desire for creative solutions.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
We expect our export strength to continue into this year.
Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack at the Cattle Industry Convention and NCBA Trade Show.
In fiscal year 2021, we set a new record in the value of U.S. agricultural exports at about $172 billion. And we're currently projecting that this year that record will be broken again at $175 billion. And we know that your products, the products that you produce, are a significant part of that $175 billion goal. You know, our top 10 markets all saw gains in FY 2020, and five of our top 10 markets in China, Canada, Mexico, South Korea, and the Philippines set records for exports. Now, we're working to tap new export opportunities and break down trade barriers, especially in Southeast Asia, where we've seen rapid GDP growth, expanding middle classes, an urbanizing population, and increasingly modern food retail systems. Now, that all adds up, in our view, to market opportunity. And one of the advantages of the American agricultural export story is that we've always been able to provide a stable supply of goods. Yet the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic has revealed vulnerabilities across our agricultural supply chains, including at our ports. And I think you all know this all too well. And as a result, American agricultural producers and shippers have met some challenges as they move their products to key markets around the world. And I can relate to how incredibly frustrating it's got to be to have commodities, to have customers, to have containers shipping problems stand in the way and causing lost opportunity and potentially market share loss. So we're taking steps to address port operation challenges and ensure that we can maintain our stable reputation with key markets that is absolutely essential to continuing agricultural exports and ag income. In December last year, I joined Secretary of Transportation Buttigieg in calling on the world's leading ocean carriers to help mitigate disruptions by restoring reciprocal treatment of imports and exports and by improving service at our ports. Now, this has met with some new progress. Yingmang, which is one of the top 10 carriers, responded announcing that they'll restore service in Oakland, in addition to their fellow top 10 carriers, One and CMA. And last week, I heard from several agricultural companies and cooperative CEOs about the specific examples of how our ocean carriers and supply chain challenges are making it more difficult. And it wasn't a single issue that has a simple solution. But I'm committed, and this administration is committed, to doing our part to find creative solutions in partnership with the industry. And that's why this week we also announced proactive steps to help utilize available terminal capacity by partnering with the Port of Oakland in California along the coast to set up a new 25-acre pop-up site. Now, what this is going to do is it's going to make it easier for agricultural companies to fill empty shipping containers with American-grown commodities. And this pop-up site at the Port of Oakland will provide space to fill those empty containers beginning in March of this year. Now, these containers will then be picked up and delivered directly to agricultural companies and cooperatives, where they'll be filled with commodities, helping keep our homegrown products moving to their final destination around the world. Now, to give you a sense of what this may mean for the beef industry, in 2020, exporters shipped nearly 750,000 metric tons of meat in containers out of the Port of Oakland. That's almost 25% of the total containerized meat exports. So you can see it's a pretty important port. Now, since this new site will have a dedicated gate with the ability to pre-cool reefer containers for perishable commodities, we'll avoid the bottlenecks that would have resulted from entering and exiting the main area of the port. And we hope that this speeds up exports.
It's Agriculture Today.
On the phone with Joe Guzman, Director of Sales for Equinom Smarter Sesame. Joe, 2022's here. You have lots of opportunities in sesame.
That's right, Stephen. We have grain handlers with 2022 agreements ready to be signed. Smarter Sesame makes a great rotational crop for producers who are planning for the new crop and season. With inputs on the rise, Smarter Sesame is a great choice for low input acres.
Joe, if somebody wants to find out more, how can they do that?
They can call 1-833-SESAME or visit equinom.com.
When your field calls for the perfect type of tough, go all in on FiberMax Cotton to deliver the right seed for whatever you're up against. Like the FiberMax 1621 GL variety. Strong as an ox, fights like a bull. Built to buck stress, boost yield quality, and muscle up when bacterial blight throws down. Whether you're looking for that type of tough or another, you can find it at FiberMax.com. FiberMax Cotton Seed from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
We have a farm with a 220 bushel APH yield trend adjusted. That will be used to set guarantees, and we're looking at a projected price of $570.
University of Illinois ag economist Dr. Gary Schnittke. Using a central Illinois example.
Remember, that's a futures price, and the cash price that we will receive from that will be lower than that, and we're using a 30-cent basis for 540. In calculating these returns, we're coming up with a $1,188 return. That is based on $755 of non-aligned cost and $305 of cash rent. Given those costs and the revenue that we see listed above, we get $1,188 of return. If we look at crop insurance and 85% down to 50% coverage levels, we see the cash revenue guarantee. We're calculating this based on a cash price, so that $540 price. At 85% coverage level, we have $1,010 of guarantee of cash from either crop revenue or crop insurance. We get that. We have a minus $50 return. And as you can see there, we get lower cash revenue guarantees and our net return, cash revenue guarantee minus total costs, go down. So even at the highest 85% coverage level, we have chances of losses with RP 85%.
He offers some crop insurance and risk mitigation strategies.
So we have risk in 2022. Obviously, if we get those expected returns, we could have a good year, but we have risk. We could see many things. And we could have much lower yields or much lower prices by the time we get to harvest. So we also have to remember in this situation is that unlike most years or many years in the past, we will not be getting ARC and PLC payments when revenue protection or crop insurance kicks in because we're at such much higher prices. So the risk mitigation impacts of our commodity title program isn't there this year. So we're not likely to have payments from those ARC PLC payments. So what do we do in this environment? Here are three suggestions. First is keep the crop insurance at a high coverage level. Illinois farmers in northern and central Illinois typically buy 80 and 85% coverage levels. Southern Illinois, 75 to 80%. Staying there is a good idea, even given that we'll have higher guarantees. We still need that given our higher cost. We would also suggest looking at buying up another product or getting a supplemental product such as ECO, SCO, or some private add-ons. But you have to look at the premium cost of those. Some of those products have high premium cost, and in a normal year, much of the profit would go towards those premiums. Finally, we would suggest pricing more than usual. Typically, Illinois farmers have about 20% of their grain priced by the end of March. Having that in the 30 to 40% range would be a good idea. Again, we have good prices or prices that cover cost on an average cash rent situation. It might be the year to take advantage of those.
It's Agriculture Today.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
When it comes to farming cotton in West Texas, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers rely on Delta Pine brand cotton. Bred, tested, and made in West Texas for West Texas growing conditions. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
This is Agriculture Today.
I think that we are closer than one would expect, but I'm going to knock on wood because I don't want to jinx myself, right? I think patience is certainly a virtue. And when you've been through the ringer for, I don't know, almost three calendar years at this point, it's hard to say be patient and hold on for a little bit longer. But I firmly believe, and I'm pretty sure all of my colleagues here at NCBA believe as well, that the future is bright.
Danielle Beck is Senior Executive Director of Government Affairs, National Cattlemen's Beef Association, also looks at labeling.
So, Tony, one of my responsibilities is leading our business team, right? So our issue areas, we focus on how to the policies and the regulations that will allow all of our producers to run viable business entities, profitable businesses. Labeling, I think, is going to be a core component moving forward, whether you're talking about fake meat products that are competing directly against beef and trying to trade on beef's good name. And we've been leading the charge since day one there. And, you know, I'm really proud of the progress we've made. And I think we're all looking forward to see what may come out of USDA and FDA in the future, although I think that's probably a longer-term project, right? But you know, again, when it comes to producer profitability, consumers love beef. They want to eat beef. They want to know where their food is coming from. How do we ensure that there are those opportunities available for our producers? And we have been working to initiate Product of USA labeling reforms because we think that that's the best near-term opportunity. You know, right now, the label as it stands, it's generically approved. It can be applied to any product coming in through an FSIS inspected facility, whether it's of foreign or domestic origin. We think that there is a potential to mislead consumers in an unhelpful and unfortunate way. But on top of that, because it's a generically approved label, it doesn't benefit cattle producers. So we want to see USDA reform that label, do away with Product of USA, replace it with something more appropriately descriptive, like processed in USA, but then pivot and work on outreach and education so that cattle producers are aware of all of the different myriad of labeling opportunities that are voluntary, verified, and will allow them to capture greater premiums for their product. We think that's the way to go, right? And so just this week, USDA announced that they will be moving forward on a survey to determine, you know, consumer perceptions of these labels. After we submitted our petition to USDA, they announced that they would be initiating a top-to-bottom review, and so this is the first step towards those reforms. But, you know, digging a couple steps back, Tony, if you look at the Big Four, right, they're protein companies. They're not beef companies. And then you look at some of the leading fake meat companies and how they market their products versus a protein company. Nobody is better positioned to sell and I think put forward their product to the consumer than beef producers themselves. And I think there is a tremendous amount of opportunity if USDA is meaningful in how they initiate some of these reforms to allow our producers to accomplish just that. You know, if you look at the Kentucky Beef Program, it's my favorite example to utilize. It's PVP, voluntarily approved. I think they're seeing a tremendous amount of success. They're working directly with a very small processor in the area, helping that processor have a dedicated market. I think it's exactly how a viable niche chain can work, right? And it could serve as the example across the board. But when you're looking at competing with fake meat products on the market, these disruptive technologies, empowering the people who are most passionate about producing it and selling it to be the ones marketing it as well, it's going to be exciting to see what happens, I guess.
Now, Allison Rivera is Executive Director of Government Affairs at NCBA on the importance of making your voice heard.
DC is a bubble, and it's very easy to get stuck in that bubble, and we have to hear from producers. They have to break through that bubble and share what's going on the ground, because I don't live in Kansas, I don't live in Nebraska, I don't live in Texas, and I need to hear what's working and what's not so then I can relay that message back to DC.
It's Agriculture Today. The best thing you can put on your crop is your shadow. Your need to be in the field won't change, and the Cotton Research and Promotion Program was put into place to make sure you get the most from every minute you're out there. That's why the Cotton Board and Cotton Incorporated work alongside growers to spur innovation, fund research, and foster sustainability so generations of farming families can walk the same turn rows for years to come. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
For years, cotton growers have had a trusted partner when it comes to choosing their varieties. NextGen brand cottonseed from America. You can depend on NextGen varieties for performance and yields year after year. And for this year's season, there are several new Bolgard 3 Extend Flex varieties available. Oh, and one other thing. AmeriCot is now offering Cotless seed treatments to protect your seed investment against your early season challenges. To find out more, contact your local NextGen representative or seed dealer today. AmeriCut. All we do is cotton. All the time.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
The calf crop, another number we focus on a lot, was down 1.2% and saw significant declines in Montana, California, and Florida. The under 500-pound category decreased 2.6%. So sometimes those numbers, the calf crop and that under 500-pound number, are a little bit closer together in terms of a percentage-wise. But we did have those big storms last year that impacted right during calving season, so we might have lost a few calves there. We also are continuing to wean at heavier rates. So weaning calves at heavier rates can push that number, those cattle, sorry, into higher categories than what we might be, would have seen 10 years ago, et cetera.
Caitlin McCulloch with the Livestock Marketing Information Center, looking back at the cattle inventory report.
We expected beef cow inventory to be down about 2%. I think the calf crop is maybe the one where that gives me pause to not fully agree with you, maybe, is that the calf crop was down only 1.2%. And so, you know, you're not looking at a 2%, 3% decline in that calf crop. And so that's something important to keep in mind. But we do have less cattle outside of feedlots. We do have less cattle in general through the revision process and then what the numbers said this year as well on January 1. So all of that does point to tighter supplies moving forward. And I think that was largely the consensus heading into this report. And maybe it was a little bit tighter than maybe that average expectation. But I wouldn't say, you know, we're expecting wildly different things than we did before this report. We did, LMIC did increase our forecast based on this report, not significantly, about 0.5% on the cattle slaughter side and, you know, maybe a little bit smaller on the production side. So we did decrease slaughter about 0.5% in 2022 and 2023 based on what that inventory said. And then we did raise prices to reflect those tighter supplies. But in truth, right, this market has been a lot stronger than we anticipated, particularly on the calf side early this year. And so some of that's reflecting maybe some of those changes we weren't anticipating that maybe aren't necessarily directly report related as well. So from an annual basis, we've increased our annual fed cattle prices in 2022 to 135 to 137. So some of you might feel like that's still a little low based on where the futures market is, but essentially we're looking at some of these economic indicators for the second half of 2022 and not feeling as confident maybe in beef demand as some other analysts are. I think, you know, that consumer pressure from a financial perspective is going to matter. We have consumer sentiment now below 70. And so this is the lowest, one of the lowest numbers since about 2011. So lower than any of the any of the 2020 numbers. And so all of those things are factoring into our decision. Now, because I kind of have that smaller top end range on my fed cattle market, and we've already talked about corn today, that kind of limits what I have feeder cattle prices doing over the next 2 years. Not that they're not going to increase. So keep in mind, my fed cattle price is still an 11% increase from 2021. Still a strong, strong gain, but still under that 140 level that I think most people are looking at this point. I do have us hitting 140 feds in 2023. So it remains to be seen kind of how that market develops or how quickly it develops. We might see those prices a little bit earlier, but I don't have an average, annual average being that high quite yet. On the 700 to 800 pound feeders in the Southern Plains, I've kept them, you know, in the mid 160s for 2022. And again, I'm going to be watching that feed market pretty closely over the next year to see how that develops. And then calf prices we raised to 189 to 193 per hundredweight. So another big increase there, but I've been a little surprised at how strong it has been this spring, or this winter, I should say. And we'll continue to watch that develop as well.
It's Agriculture Today.
When your field calls for the perfect type of tough, go all in on FiberMax Cotton to deliver the right seed for whatever you're up against. Like the FiberMax 2398 GLTP variety. Strong as an ox, fights like a bull. Built to buck stress, boost yield quality, and stand strong when that verticillium wilt comes creeping. Whether you're looking for that type of tough or another, you can find it at FiberMax.com. FiberMax Cotton Seed from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Every drop counts. Introducing the Patriot 50 Series Sprayer from Case IH that puts every drop of product exactly where you want it. Enhanced LED lights, a cab designed for all-day comfort, and more precise spraying technology. Because just like you, we know every drop counts. Visit your local Wiley implement for details on the new Patriot 50 Series Sprayer.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Hybrids that did well in Manhattan, Dynagro M67GB87, DeKalb DKS4523, and Polanski 5719 did well.
That's Kansas State agronomist Jane Lingenfelser, who oversees the Kansas State Crop Performance Test, reviewing grain sorghum lines standing out in the dry land performance test.
We had a test at Belleville in Republic County, and hybrids that did well, Advanta ADV G3127, DeKalb DKS4523 again, Dynagro M67GB87, and M72GB71 did well in Belleville. We also had Beloit in Mitchell County. Hybrids that did well at Beloit, DeKalb DKS4523 again, also Dynagro M59GB94, and Dynagro M63GB78 did well at Beloit. We had Ottawa in Franklin County, and hybrids that did well in Ottawa, DeKalb DKS3816 did well, also Dynagro M67GB87, and our early maturity check from Pioneer did well in Ottawa.
There were a couple of dry land grain sorghum trials, though, that had to be abandoned. But there was one site that made it.
We had Assyria in Slade County, and hybrids that did well in Assyria. The medium maturity check from Pioneer did well. Also, Advanta ADV G2177IG. Also, Sorghum Partners SPS 344 and SPSC 343 did well in Assyria.
And there were also a couple of sites in western Kansas that didn't pan out because of drought, but good performance generated from the others.
We had Hayes in Ellis County, and the hybrids that did well, an experimental from Polanski. It's X65RD14IG, Dynagro M54GR24, and Advanta ADV G2193IG did well in Hayes.
Now, she also follows the sunflower performance test and said there were a few hybrids in the dryland trials.
We had a test at Ashland Bottoms in Riley County, and the overall yield for Ashland Bottoms was 1,174 pounds per acre. And the hybrids that did well at Ashland, S&W Seed SF440 did well, also New Seed N4H422, Cropland CP7919, and an experimental from Dynagro. It was XH81H52CP did well in Ashland Bottoms. Hutchinson in Reno County, the overall average there was 1,227 pounds per acre, and hybrids that did well, Cropland CP7919 and CP455E, also New Seed N4H470 did well in Reno County.
Now, we did see a few more hybrids showcased in northwestern Kansas on the irrigated trials.
We also had Colby Irrigated in Thomas County, and the overall average was 3,351 pounds per acre. New Seed N4H521 and Falcon, and also Cropland CP455E did well in Colby.
K-State agronomist Jane Lingenfelser It's Agriculture Today.
My name is Manuel Macias. My dream was to become a farmer like my grandfather and my dad. It was hard back then. I wanted so bad to buy some land, but no bank will go with me until I went to Capital Farm Credit. And as soon as I walked in, I felt the friendliness in it. It's a partnership. It's good to do business with a company that looks out and gives you back whatever you put in. Capital Farm Credit, together we're better.
Aqua Yield Regional Agronomist Dr. Tracy Carrillo talks about using NanoPro to improve your burn down.
NanoPro is a nanoliquid technology that grabs the molecules of your burn down herbicides. It enhances the delivery of your herbicides, making them more efficient. You oftentimes see a 3-to-1 return on investment. This will stretch your chemical use up to 30%, which means you're saving more money, especially with the availability and volatility of chemicals these days.
Find out more at aquayield.com.
This is Agriculture Today.
Trade with the United Kingdom, it is a natural fit for us. There's a lot of benefits, a lot of similarities, and not a lot of the concerns that, you know, folks have as far as environment, labor, human rights that you may have in other parts of the world. I think this is the right direction that we should go. We should be trading more with our allies. We should be building those supply chains with them. And we look forward to moving forward with that in 2022 and beyond.
Kent Backus, Senior Director for International Trade, National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
When you look at the similarities, you know, British media always loves to show us as like the factory farmers, and we're big, bad, and because we're efficient, we're going to put everybody out of business. They love to sell fear. So what we have tried to do is say, look, we have a lot of similarities, and let's talk about those. Because we know the people we represent. We know U.S. cattle producers. We're very proud of what we do. And we care for our animals just like they care for their animals. We care for our animals on Christmas Day before we open our gifts. You know, we always prioritize animal health and animal welfare. Healthy cattle make great beef. And so as we show similarities in our production schemes, you know, they have their red tractor, standards. And red tractor is considered like they consider it the best in the world. Well, if you look at all of the terms of Red Tracker, they are identical in many, many respects to the Beef Quality Assurance Program. And here in the United States, we have over 500,000 producers that are BQA certified. You know, we have this massive number, massive percentage of beef that is that's produced under BQA certified terms. So we have a lot we can be proud of and we hang our hat on. When you look at sustainability, you know, we prioritize, you know, conservation and grazing practices, you know, using our natural resources to the benefit, but also using it in a way that improves the land around us and the water. And that's something that plays very well. You're talking about a market that watches those famous nature films all the time, and the David Attenborough, things that we've all seen, especially during COVID shutdown. It's always fun to watch animals and stuff. But you know, that's what the British consumer looks at. They're looking at all of these things as a big priority. Food safety, we have very, very similar standards. You look at the concerns over antimicrobial resistance. Well, that's something American consumers are looking at. So we've done a really good job as an industry of correcting that narrative, and we focused a lot of that internally at the United States, but a lot of those same conversations are what we're going to have with British consumers, and it's going to take us time. We're going to have to earn their trust. We don't have a presence there, so not only are we going to have to get trade terms that open that market, but we're going to have to invest as an industry in educating them on the safety, the quality of our products, so they feel good about the beef that they're purchasing. We have a great story to tell, and I look forward to telling that in the UK. I think, you know, when we see the 70 million consumers there, they're not just eating all the traditional, you know, meals that you would associate with British cuisine. Britain is very, very diverse. There are people from all over the world, all different cultures and backgrounds that live there. And guess what? They live here in the United States, too. And we know how to market to them. We know how to provide them with what they want. And we're going to have the same access into the UK. And we're very excited about that. It's going to take some time. We've got to get that trade deal negotiated. That's going to be a heavy lift. It's going to be really good opportunity for us. And then moving forward, we're going to have to invest as an industry and build that trust with consumers. But once we do, they are very loyal consumers. It's very similar to what we've seen in China, Korea, and Japan. It's going to be tough, but the results are going to be really good.
It's Agriculture Today.
The formula for success is a simple one. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why cotton growers looking to improve yield potential plant Delta Pine Grand Cotton, featuring 100 years of proven yield potential and exclusive genetics in every bag. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Stock up and save on John Deere filters and packaged oil at the South Plains Implement semi-annual sale. Now through February 28th, receive 10 to 12% off John Deere filters and packaged oil for large ag equipment, and 10% off compact tractor home maintenance kits and oil when you purchase filters. No payments, no interest options available on qualifying purchases. Some restrictions apply. See us for details. With 14 locations, there's a South Plains Implement near you. South Plains Implement, where farm meets family.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
We stood up FarmerFairness.gov. That's FarmerFairness, all one word, .gov. This is a joint USDA Department of Justice web portal for farmers, ranchers, and producers and growers to submit complaints about potential violations of the Packers and Stockyards Act and any other antitrust laws.
It's a new collaborative effort with DOJ. There's also a new app, according to Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack.
And we also launched the first Market News mobile app. Now, this is going to provide instant access to market information. This app is going to provide producers and everyone else in the supply chain with instant access to current and historical market information. Now, the initial version of this free app includes nearly 800 livestock, poultry, and grain market reports, and we expect additional commodities will be added throughout the coming year.